It is a truth universally acknowledged that a community of women trying to mind their own business must be in want of a random man's opinion.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are bringing you updates on all the books you see on TikTok and whether or not you should take the time to read them if you are a busy young professional. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Casey.
And I'm Catherine. And I fucking love that quote. Anyways, this book is kind of our part two in our voyage into romance novels by Allie Hazelwood. So it's Love on the Brain. It's her second book after her debut novel, Love Hypothesis, which we reviewed earlier. And y'all should check out because we had a really great discussion about that. But this book, very similar in the sense that it's a romance book. It's not fake dating, but it's enemies to lovers. And basically, it's about this woman who works as a neurobiologist, and she's working for the NIH, and she gets this opportunity to do a fellowship with NASA designing astronaut helmets to better, better use them. I don't know science, but this is STEMinism, so I don't have to know about science. So the STEMinism is back, and she meets her former classmate while she was in grad school who she thinks didn't ever like her and was always rude to her. But, you know, in true enemies to lovers fashion, they have some hijinks along the way as they co-lead this project with NASA. How did I do on that?
That was pretty good. Okay. And before we get into the reviews, disclaimer, a lot of the reviews were hating on, like, this is like the same book, but like with different names. Guys, it's a romance, like rom-com. There's a formula. Of course, it's similar. You know what you're getting into. So disclaimer, if you like The Love Hypothesis, you will probably like this. If you didn't, you probably will not like this.
To be fair, Casey is one of those reviews.
Yeah, I have a disagreeing opinion with you on that one, but I'll get into the reasons why later.
Okay, well, do you want to go first on reviews then?
Yeah. So I found a 1-star review on Goodreads. And it says, the random love scenarios that I make up in my head 5 minutes before I fall asleep are better than this.
Shit. Fair enough.
And I thought it was funny.
Well, I took a different approach and found a very funny 5-star review. Like, I was looking for a 3-star, 2-star, just because I wanted to see that side. But then I came across this, and it's a 5-star on Goodreads, and it's, y'all are not ready for Levi, the cinnamonest roll of all cinnamon rolls.
I like.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I have a 4-star review from Storygraph, and I feel like it kind of summed up how I feel, which is why I chose it. It says, I've come to realize that Allie Hazelwood is for sure my comfort author. Her books, even though I know they're bad according to some standards, just make me feel so good. Like I actually lose myself while reading. I love it. And I'm not sure they even count as, quotations, bad, because she clearly makes everything in the story revolve around the message she wants to send out. So she intentionally makes it a whole joke. But when it's serious, it's serious. I don't think that makes sense, but for me, it does. I mean, she is absurd and she knows it, but she does it on purpose. That's her ultimate plot device, absurdity. And this woman has the most wholesome, stupidest, and funniest humor ever. I won't tolerate any other opinion on this. I just love her and her characters and her books and Levi and Levi.
Levi's a good character.
I feel like the same way, you know? I'm going there to escape. I'm not looking for like some groundbreaking novel. I just want a cute romance.
And recently we've been reading a lot of groundbreaking novels, like A Babel and The Secret History.
So this was refreshing.
Yes. Sometimes you just need a break from thinking and just reading a good, it's like candy. You know, it's bad for you, but it tastes so goddamn good.
I will agree. I'm a little tired of the groundbreaking novels. I was like, I mean, y'all know I'm a disaster. I can't keep up. I've had enough. but was this the book for me? No.
Okay. Well, it was
the book for some people.
Yeah. Goodreads rating 4 out of 5 overall. Amazon rating 4.4 out of 5. Now, Casey, you may give your review.
Yes. I do want to say a disclaimer. I do agree with you guys in some ways. I think this book is clearly a candy read to spend some time on when you don't want to think, if you want a cheesy rom-com, and I think that's fine. I just think I don't personally really enjoy those kinds of books all the time. I have a harder time really getting into them, especially when I find them to be really predictable. I just can't get as invested in the story as like other people can. So I think this is a big one about like, just know what kind of reader you are. I totally understand why people like this book, and I don't think that's weird at all. It's just like, I truly like, it was not for me.
Casey's too sophisticated for our funny romances.
I don't know. Look, I enjoy the fairy sex as much as y'all do. The issue with me, and it is the fact that this book is the same as the other one. What's the title of the other one?
Love Hypothesis.
Love Hypothesis.
Love Hypothesis.
Okay, guys, you heard it here first. Casey is against breaking the glass ceiling and hates feminism.
Feminism. Look, my major point, it should be a sin against art to write the same characters. I am not against predictable romance. I am not against cheesy, loving, simple plots. I am against reusing the same exact shit another time. I think that's boring.
I disagree that they are the same characters, but I please disagree. Do give us your star rating so we can get to that discussion. No, shut up.
Anyway.
Your star rating. We'll talk about it later.
My star rating is 2.5.
Oh my God.
It took me a full 2 weeks to read, and I didn't even really want to finish it. I would have DNF'd if it wasn't for the podcast. I was so bored. I'm sorry. That's it.
Wow. Oh my God. I thought this was better than Love Hypothesis.
I would have rated it way higher if I had read it first. It's the fact that I had already read Love Hypothesis that made me not like it.
Okay, I can see your argument for sure. Like, I totally get it. They're very, very similar. I would argue though, I'm okay with reading both. I read both in one day. Each one of them I read in a day. And it's because at that moment, I really wanted a good escape from my life, dive into a tall, sexy scientist man who's a feminist, and just escape. So I was okay with it. I found that this main character, though, was better than the Love Hypothesis.
Oh my God, so much.
And that's why I'm giving it a higher star rating than Love Hypothesis.
And the smut was better.
The smut was better, too.
It wasn't so abrasive. Anyway. Okay, you said what star?
I gave it like a 4.5.
I gave it 5. I gave Love Hypothesis 5. I'm easy to please. When I'm looking for like a little romance to escape into, it's hard to mess up. So 5 for me. I also liked the characters better. The main character was way more relatable and less whiny. And honestly, I'm gonna go ahead and throw it out there. Probably the reason Catherine and I like it better than Casey is the cats.
The cats are good.
They were a main highlight for me.
Oh my God, yes.
The cats were cute. The cats were cute.
I was like, this is my dream. Just sign me up.
Yeah. But we can get into our arguments about the main characters of both of these novels later. Let's start off with our basic discussion questions.
And this does not mean discuss the characters, okay?
Casey.
It means, is the book more plot or character driven?
Yes.
But why can't we discuss it now? Let's just
spoilers.
Go do. You're not being a very good busy girl right now, Casey.
Literally, the first discussion question will settle this for you, Casey. So let's get into the spoiler section. The spoiler section.
It's not a spoiler to talk about the characters. You know who they are in like the first 10 pages.
Yes, I know, but let's let the people have the discussion they come for, not Casey's rant, okay?
I do love ranting. That's what I use this podcast for. I'm like, I'm just gonna rant.
This is the sauciest I've ever seen, Caitlin.
I'm being a little spicy, and I'll just go ahead and explain it. We were supposed to record a different episode today, and Casey still had 60 pages left in the book after putting it off for 2 weeks. She read the wrong book last week, so I'm a little spicy because I really wanted to talk about the other book anyway.
No.
Wow.
I know you guys are so excited.
Called out.
You can out it. Me. I get it. I wasn't
going to do it.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm a busy girl, and I also just messed up last week.
It's true, but that's why I'm spicy. I'll forgive you, but I'm spicy.
I accept it.
Okay, plot or character driven? Let's get into it.
Character, I guess, because it's a rom-com.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it's plot because the characters are kind of forced together. And, well, I don't know. It's like the romance is kind of its own plot. And then also technically the research project is its own plot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like the comedic part of a romantic comedy is watching the train wreck happen that the main character can't see, but you can. So I almost... That's why I'm leaning character-driven, but...
Yeah, thinking about it is probably more plot. But just because, things are happening that put them together, and then there's the plot underlying about their research, like Casey said. So it's probably more plot-driven. I mean, it's light on both. Let's be real.
Yeah, it's a romance.
It's not a romance. It's a romantic comedy, guys. Don't come in expecting it to knock your socks off in the romance department.
It's smut.
Well, our next question, which we've already discussed a little bit, have you read other books by the author? We've obviously both read two.
All three of us, yes. Can I flip the question? She just came out with Love Theoretically. Would you pick up that one?
Probably.
I think my answer's obvious.
It's a no.
Sign me up. The formula's got me good.
Yeah. Her and Emily Henry are my two favorite romance authors right now.
I'm a nerd, and it's nerd romance, and there's cats.
Yeah, it's feminism romance with nerds. What more can you ask?
After Babel and The Secret History, I need a good purge. This is a good purge.
So what about pacing?
Well, you obviously took 2 weeks. I took one day. So, Caitlin, what's the middle ground?
I think I took 2 or 3 days. Simply because of time restraints, I probably could have sat down and read it in one sitting.
Okay. Yeah, it took me a while to read it.
So the pacing is fine. It's just varying degrees.
I'll give you, it's a little slow in the beginning, but that's because it's setting everything up. And it's a little more complex because they're neuroscientists and work at NASA, but I thought it picked up and it was easy to keep going.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's surprising. I found it a little boring, so I didn't love the pacing. But would you watch a movie or TV show of this book?
A Netflix movie would be great on this.
Yeah, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I think it would play well in the Netflix sphere.
Because I think to All the Boys I've Loved Before, you could do that with all the Allie Hazelwood books.
Yeah. Yep. Or the Kissing Booth one. So cheesy and you know what's going to happen.
Kissing Booth was bad.
I know, but I still watched it because I needed to escape.
Sure.
Sometimes you need a good trashy rom-com on Netflix.
Yeah.
Get a little wine. Makes it a whole lot better.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, now we're to our busy girl rating.
I want Casey to go first because hers is going to be the most interesting.
I'm a little conflicted because, obviously I didn't love the book, but I think that I would probably be an outlier in that. And it was an easy read. So I think I'm going to give it a 3, busy girl. I don't know. I don't even know what kind of reader I am anymore. Being on this podcast has made me question everything. Cause I'm I've read some literature I've really hated this year too. but if you're more of a lit girly, I don't think you'll like it. If you're a rom-com girly and you know it, you'll like it. That's all there is to it.
You're a classic literature girly, not the new age literature.
Yeah, maybe I'm a classics girl. That's it.
And then face smut.
Yeah, and I've rekindled my love for fantasy for sure.
Dark fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 5. It was so easy to read. I mean, I guess if you're not into the science field, you may not, it may be a bit to wade through, but for me personally, 5. Super easy to read, and I enjoyed it. It was like a nice, you know, like read by the pool summer kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a 5 too. It was super easy to read. And I think like picking up and putting down's easy. Like it's a really easy plot line. Like you're never gonna get lost. Like it just, I mean, yes. Is there parts that are boring? Yes, 100%. But if you're a busy girl and you don't have a ton of time to read in general and you don't want to read like Babel, read this. It's a lot easier.
Read this instead, Colleen Hoover. This is better romance.
Yeah, read more feminist romance.
Every Allie Hoover book over and over again before I would read Colleen Hoover again. Like, I would rather die than pick up another Colleen Hoover.
You said
book.
Allie Hoover.
Oh, what did I say? Damn.
You combined their names.
Like, I'd rather read every Allie Hoover book. I was like, interesting mashup.
Can you imagine this like wholesome, sweet feminist romance books smashed with like Colleen Hoover's absolute decrepit, just horrible,
horrible abusive men?
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway. Scientist feminist girly meets horribly abusive man.
Yeah.
She'd probably like be like, let me test my bomb making skills.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll probably cut most of that out.
Don't want to get attacked by the Colleen Hoover girls.
Yeah.
I was trying to save Casey's face, but if you want to leave it in, we can.
I don't care. Look, feed me to the wolves.
Payback.
She's never going to let you live it down.
No.
Anyway.
I do feel bad.
Please, Casey, I believe it is time for spoiler alerts. Catherine, would you like to read our first question so that Casey can get it out of her system?
And I will amend the question as I go. So we have previously read The Love Hypothesis, and we have stated this. So how does this book compare? Caitlin and I have both said our piece on that. And which of the two main characters did you like most? And Casey, I'll add on, what did you think about the characters in this book and comparing them to your previous reading experience?
I do think the characters in this book are way better, which is why I wish I had read this book first. My issue is that it's another, I'm skinny, tiny, quirky, and nerdy. Oh my gosh, I'm so small. Look at me. And I'm a scientist girl meets hulking, silent. I'm grumpy, but really cute and sweet and supportive, tall, giant, dark-haired, green-eyed man. Like, I was just like, I feel like I read the first chapter and like completely checked out. I was like, I've read this already. No, thank you. But I don't know. Like, that's just how I felt. I was like, these people are the same. It's just like she learned from her mistakes and made them less cringe, but they're still the same.
He does have a type. I will give you that. Yeah. Like, I'm like, who are you picturing as you write these? I will give you that. It is the same dynamic. And she goes really hard into like, I'm so small. He's so big. Okay. Yeah. We get it. Okay. I thought B had so much more depth. And she was way less just like nerdy, sad grad student. Like, she was like, I'm in my career. I'm a working woman. I got pink hair and tats and piercings. And I'm like rocking up in this man's world. I loved all the little like sausage fests and whatever, like little TM things she had in there describing them. And I thought Levi was better than Adam. Adam was kind of just like boring. And Levi is kind of like,
yeah,
kind of fun, kind of sassy, kind of spicy.
Yeah, I think B was so much better than Olive, because B, okay, to be fair, as a grad student, you're probably not as mature as someone who's been in the field for a very long time, or not very long, but longer time. But B knew who she was. She knew what she wanted. She spoke up for herself. She has this whole Twitter page about like, what would Marie Curie do? And like, gives advice to other women in STEM who are experiencing discrimination, because like, women in general do experience like these microaggressions and these issues in the workplace. Like, it's not a secret, but it's not really talked about a lot. So it's super interesting to read. Like, that's what kind of kept me interested in this book, was reading B helping other women achieve success and help them work through some of the issues in their own work wise.
Her grad student and their relationship.
And I did love the grad student as well.
It was so funny. A little ray of sunshine, B, and then like, how do you say her name? Rokio?
Yeah, something like that.
Like middle doom and gloom, sleeps in a coffin kind of girl. I was like, this is loves hilarious.
La Llorona, which is like a terrible like mystic.
It gave me 100% like Parks and Rec, like Aubrey Plaza vibes, and yes. I loved it 100%. In their relationship, and I thought that added some complexity. It wasn't just like the romance, you had some other sophisticated relationships happening too. I liked it.
Okay, I'm gonna move this question up because we've already touched on this, and I just have to ask, does the author have a height fetish? Because she always seems to like to make her main love interest insanely.
She has a type. I don't know.
Yeah. But there's like a height fetish where it's like short girl meets very tall boy. How will they meet?
I will say that also is like part of what I feel like made me not like the romance is I was like, why are all these short ass women with these 6'4" tall guys in this book? Like, I just don't, I feel like those couples look a little strange. Like,
okay, excuse me, sorry. Here, this is being very transparent. I'm 5'3", and I really like men around 6 foot. My okay, sister is 5'3", married to a 6'4" engineer. Like,
yeah, that's true. But
I mean, coming from a 5'7" girly, I can't relate. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm 5'6".
Spooning with like a 6 foot guy when you're very short, it's just really cozy.
Can't relate.
Yeah, I can't relate. I do feel like she has just, like Caitlin says, she has a type.
I need to Google how tall is Allie Hazelwood?
Allie Hazelwood's married. Can we figure out what her husband looks like?
Oh my God, if she's writing as if it's her husband, I'm dead.
Watch her husband be like 5'5".
Oh God, that might be worse.
I can't find her height off the top. But I'm going
That's
to.
That's a weird thing to say, like to know.
She's like pretty average height, it looks like. I don't know. Maybe she wants to be short with a tall dude.
Yeah, nothing comes up under Allie Hazelwood husband. That's the only tragedy. Well, not the only tragedy, and honestly, not even really a tragedy, but is that if you love books and you're like not into like movies and TV shows and movie stars, but you're like want to know more about your favorite authors, there is so much less information about them online. And I'm like, I wish we could find out these details, but they're not out there.
That's so parasocial.
She does it have is. A really cute cat.
I just want to know. It's not because I want to like form a relationship with her or act like I know her. I just am curious. I'm like, she writes these 6'4" men with these short ass women. Is this what her real life dynamic is like? I'm just curious.
Oh my God.
I don't know. I'm curious too. And I'm currently stalking her Instagram and I can't find her cat's name. And I'm really upset because I want to know if it's something sciencey, just like in the book.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
Oh, his name's Babouche.
I like that.
Oh, her.
Babouche.
Her name is Babouche. Okay, well.
That anyway. Was
a little okay, we don't need to be aside, but so long, yeah.
Yeah, let's stop stalking the author. Anyway, this book has a lot of rom-com tropes. We've already talked about a couple. Which ones do you like? Which ones did you dislike in this book? And do you like enemies to lovers technical tropes? Or do you guys have like a favorite trope that maybe wasn't included?
This is one of my gripes with the book as well. This book is not enemies to lovers. This book is miscommunication.
Also, he was a lot more adversaries to lovers than enemies to lovers.
Why does Allie Hazelwood write romances where the man has been in love with this woman secretly for years?
Because that's what every woman wants.
It's not what I want. I think it's weird. I think I'm like, what kind of man are you that you like have so little social skills that you can't like actually speak to a woman and you like have these like intense feelings for her for years? Like, I just don't like it. It doesn't hit the romance button for me.
Yeah. I mean, this book is marketed as enemies to lovers. Like every chat that I read.
It's supposed to be a twist that he's in love with her, even though everyone knows that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know from the beginning that he's schmack.
Oh,
yeah. And
I also did not like the secret online persona. I didn't like that.
Oh, I knew that that was him.
I knew it, and I thought it was kind of funny. That's the point of a rom-com, you know, and the main character doesn't.
Yeah, it's like you got mail. It's good.
That is the literal point of a rom-com.
I was not into it.
You know the secret, the main character doesn't. You get to watch them collide.
See, I normally don't like miscommunication, like Casey said, because this is very miscommunication-esque. Because I don't like that when people don't talk to each other. But this case, I actually did kind of like it, because there was an issue where, like, she was engaged, so he couldn't do much of anything. And then also, like, working in an environment where you're co-leads, but there's also politics at play about, like, your two different organizations clashing, and, like, there wasn't much he could do. To fix that situation. So I was okay with this one.
I will say I never get tired of forced proximity, which is what the co-leads things is. I love forced proximity. And that was the part that I liked.
I thought they were going to throw in the one bed thing again. I was like, okay, you really did this last time, but then it didn't end up doing that.
What other tropes were there?
No.
Are like cats who like secretly hide away in NASA trope.
Her and her grad assistant were definitely grumpy sunshine trope.
Yes.
Grumpy sunshine having sex at work.
Right. Well, and the grad assistant and the other girl were also grumpy sunshine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They had like a little grumpy sunshine triangle going on.
Oh, yeah. It was a ton of grumpy sunshine with some workplace romance mixed with some HR.
I love grumpy sunshine.
This is my only other complaint about some of the tropes, is that some of the details were a little too convenient. Like the fact that B just happens to wear a wedding ring still, I was like, shut the fuck up. Like, obviously, you know, like it's just like, stop.
That's why it's funny.
It's not. I'm just like, what?
Well, to be fair, wouldn't you wear a wedding ring to get like men away from you?
Yeah, but that's not why she wore it.
A lot of women do.
She wore it for comfort.
She wore it because it was her grandmother's and she didn't want men to talk to her.
Yeah, that's fair.
I didn't like it.
It kept Guy away, which, bad idea, but...
Well, it didn't keep Guy away. He still asked if she was married. Anyway. Yeah, so the forced proximity I liked. The others, I don't know.
I'm not mad.
Yeah. I love me a good adversaries to lovers, enemies to lovers esque thing. So
I mean, Pride and Prejudice just wrote the perfect script in that area, and now everyone just has to follow it. So, you know, tall, dark haired man brooding, you know, in love with the lady but doesn't say it. It's Pride and Prejudice, just a little comedy.
Yeah.
Science.
It's Mr. Darcy.
I will read a Mr. Darcy esque character every time.
Mm-hmm. Casey's over here shaking her head.
The quote is even a remake of the Pride and Prejudice quote. Yeah.
I did have a little fangirl moment where I kind of screamed a little bit, because I feel like Jane Austen is like almost my like Marie Curie. And so I was like, ah.
What would Jane Austen do?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, guys, if you see that Twitter account pop up, you know it's Casey.
That is totally a Casey Twitter account. You should do it.
Women in journalism.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just thinking. Okay, well, next question. The other thing I loved is hashtag Texas setting.
Okay, but Houston, like, ew.
Okay, yeah, fair.
Fair, yeah.
Houston's a trash pit.
Yeah. The book is set in NASA, which is based in Houston. This ends up also obviously creating the office dynamics between B and Levi's team and the politics of NASA and their sort of, you know, rivalry almost with the NIH. What did you guys think of that?
I liked it.
The politics.
Yeah. Cause honestly, the politics is so accurate. Like in workplaces, you have to play a politics game when you're working, and people don't talk about that. And I totally could see the NIH and NASA having a ball busting tournament about sharing resources, even though they work under the same government.
Well, and like placing the value of scientific exploration on how much money it can make you, that kind of thing. Like, It's very interesting. And I think it was definitely higher stakes than in Love Hypothesis, because that was like a grad school kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This was like real world, real tech they were working on. I thought the politics were a very interesting dynamic.
I totally agree. One of my complaints with like many romances is often that like the challenges are a little too convenient. Like they sort of come up sporadically and they're like easily defeated. This was a challenge that I thought was like super real and well-written. I also had a friend who was a research assistant at the NIH. And so I know that some of these dynamics are like shockingly accurate. And so like all the tea and the fighting between the NIH and NASA, I thought was like great, difficult, and realistic.
Well, like, I just love
to their work.
Yeah. And I just love B just being like, yeah, is this because I'm a woman? Because like, it's a totally real thing that you think in your head is no one listening to me because I'm a woman, and they're mm-hmm. all going to Levi because he's the man. That's a totally real thing to think.
Yes. Well, I love that she said stuff about it, because I feel like these days women are better at speaking up about that kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
But not great.
So I love that she was a little spicy about it and was like, stop eating my vegan donut.
That was good.
I agree. Yeah. So our leading man, you guys have, you know, said you love his little Darcy vibes. What did you think of Levi when he was first introduced versus towards the end and the development of their relationship?
Well, I liked him the whole time, because you immediately knew he was that schmack guy, and I liked the schmack guy in the DM. So I was like, yep, okay, B, figure it out. Like, you just had to wait on her to figure it out.
Yeah.
I loved his relationship with his best friend's like daughter and wife, that he kind of like kept track of them, and his old cat. And he kind of did his thing unapologetically despite his family, being like, join the military. That was very Texas of them, I feel like. But
very Texas of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, I loved Levi. I was like, this is the one. If I were to bring someone to life to marry myself, this is the one.
Yeah. That's my one gripe about the story, is that B doesn't find out that Levi is the guy that she's been DMing the whole time.
Yes. Like,
that was
the point.
I know it was the point.
I wanted so much bigger of a reveal, though. I was like, yeah. I want this to like blow shit up.
A murder plot wasn't a big enough reveal for you?
Sorry. The ending was chaos and random, and I did
it was.
Not.
We'll
like
get it. There. It was chaos. I have thoughts on that one, but
it was chaos.
But I thought it was a big reveal.
Yeah, because I thought somehow, like, B was going to get in trouble for her activism account, and then, like, Schmack was going to have to, like, out himself to save her or something. Like, I just thought it was going to be more intrinsic to the plot instead of, like, the murder thing.
Can we talk about how it was revealed? Because he was lovingly cutting video of her invisible cat for her. Because I was like, this man is goals.
Yeah. I did love that. I was like, okay, that's cute. But this is the point that made me really, really wish I had read this book before Love Hypothesis. Because I think I would have fallen in love with him if I had read this book before. But obviously, I've already said it, I had trouble getting into the romance this time around.
Adam just stood there silently and then like had like aggressive sex that one time with her like knee-high socks on, and then went back to being aggressively silent. And I was like, okay, at least this guy has like a personality.
I'm dead. See, I just liked both of them. Can a girl just like both? Like, I mean, the vibe.
They look the same, so both. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the same type for sure.
Yeah. If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I'm okay with it.
It's just a tall, brooding man. Catherine's there.
What was it? One of the other reviews I found, what's it say? Obsessed with Men, written by Allie Hazelwood, 4 stars.
There we go. See, I like Resand, yep. I like Rowan, and I like mm-hmm. these two. Mm-hmm. I have a type. Tall, it's fine.
Tall, dark, broody, smart men who think women have power.
Hit me up.
That's a whole podcast type. Okay. So, I don't know. We've kind of talked about this. Do you guys want to still address it? What did you think of B's Twitter account and her relationship with Schmack? Do you think that kind of account could exist in the real world? And I'll just answer that, because I used to follow a meme account called the Ivory Tower, which is a meme account for PhD students. And even when I was an undergrad, I found it really funny and relatable. And their whole purpose was like targeting sexism and racism in the Ivy League schools and PhD programs. And so I know that this exists. And the whole time I was like thinking about right. that account.
Totally believable. What's unbelievable is the fact that they could support a movement like getting rid of the GRE and be successful yeah. in any kind of way.
Yeah. Getting rid of the GRE yeah. is not going to happen, y'all.
I'm like, yeah, yeah burn especially it down, not, but also never going to happen.
Yeah, especially not overnight after one tweet. I was like, this movement has been trying to gain traction for years.
And it's so interesting that she wrote this, like, because I think this she wrote this in 2022. And now what Twitter is now, it's just kind of like, you don't see Twitter actually being that powerful.
No, it's no longer helpful in any kind of way, so...
Yeah. Yeah, that's a hellscape in itself. But I totally see that these kinds of accounts would exist in the real world. And that's why I added this question. But I don't see these people staying anonymous forever. Like, I really think with the resources that like the internet has and doxing and all this like really crazy, creepy stalkery things, I think they would be found out pretty quickly if they were doing these things.
She did. Like,
she that did happened. But I think it would be even quicker than that.
Yeah,
there's no way you could have an
some
account.
Guy in his base mom's basement would get real peeved off about this lady and hacker.
Oh yeah, it would be, they would be doxxed in an instant by right-wing groups. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just gonna happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
I liked it though. I like the idea.
Yeah,
it's fiction.
And I did obviously. Like, you know, I do like, obviously, Allie Hazelwood's books include a lot of commentary about the STEM field and feminism, which I think we all are here for. And I did also kind of like the conversation about the GRE. That's something that I don't know a ton about as someone who's not really thought about grad school. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. That's kind of one of our questions is like, what did you think of Bea's assistant and her struggle with the GRE and her relationship in the office? But I think that's something interesting is because my dad took the GRE to get into business school, and he literally told me, your 4 years of college mean nothing for the GRE. Like, he was like, literally, I studied exclusively just for the GRE for like 2 weeks and then got like a really good score. Like, some people are just naturally good testers. My dad is one of those people, but he literally said nothing from his college experience applied to his GRE.
Well, yeah, I like that they pointed out like she was too smart for the GRE. Mm-hmm. I was like, she overthought God it. Forbid.
I mean, yeah. It's like a lot like the SAT, where like learning how to take the test is more important than like how much you're actually capable of, as you know.
Sure. Fill in the blank. High school, like I dropped out of calculus to go back and take college algebra, and it boosted my math ATT score enough to get me scholarships. Like, it's a matter of just knowing like the simple stuff.
Yeah, like I was very privileged that I got, I think, a 24 on my ACT the first time, and then I had tutoring because my parents had the money to afford for ACT tutoring, and then I got a 30 on my second try. I would not have done that if I didn't learn the testing skills through my tutor. Like, it wasn't learning new information, it was learning how to do the test.
That's, you know, another example of a barrier to entry to academics is not even the GRE, ACT, SAT. You do better when you have the opportunity to be at a school that provides resources or have the money to. So
yeah, 100%.
Yep.
Right.
I like the commentary.
Well, I think this is our last question. What did you think of the end of the book?
Okay, this is the only thing that I was like, really?
Yeah.
When he pulled out the gun, I was like, why do we have to bring a gun into this? Like, this escalated so quickly. Yeah. And I love that the cat jumped on him. Absolutely. The invisible cat. Like, it was cheesy as hell, and I appreciated it. And I do think it was also a commentary on how people try to solve everything, all their problems with guns these days. But it felt really unnecessary to pull out the gun.
You know what it made me think of is tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Yes.
And
I was like, why? At least no one died this time.
Yeah.
Oh, spoiler alert. Sorry if you haven't listened to that one.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was just like, what are we doing here?
Oh, it was so, It was both random and not random. Like, you knew Guy was going to do something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then when he pulled out a gun, I was like, sorry, B, I can't let you live. I was like, excuse me?
I was like, yeah. this is NASA, sir. You're taking this too far.
He was like, I'll just edit the cameras. I was like, I think they'd find out.
Yeah.
I think a dead body might change things.
Yeah, suicide, yeah, forced suicide would have been interesting, but then she was like, no.
Yeah, that was a wild portion of the book. Like, I much prefer the cat secreting anal glands to
okay. Schrodinger. Was the best character in the whole.
Yeah. Yeah, the anal expressing jokes did get me.
They were so good, and there were so many of them too.
Yeah,
so
where I was like, how is she still working this in?
It was so funny.
Oh yeah. My god. Schrodinger's cat. Let's go.
So the end where how do you say the other cat's name? Felicity and Schrodinger just cuddle up in their house with their two humans. I'm like, yep, dreams do come true.
A cat dad meets a cat mom. Two
vegans, yeah.
I love it. Yep, no complaints.
Woo.
No complaints, except that he could have not had a gun.
Yeah.
It was just out of left field. I'm just kind of like, what?
But I was in her last book, the aggressive sex was out of left field. So I'm glad this time it was just a gun.
Me too.
Just a gun.
Relationship was more solid. Yeah, the sex was totally like
the sex of this book. Chef's kiss.
Much better. Yes, and like the last one, it was just like one chapter of very like two shy people going total animal on each other.
This is two people who know what they want.
Much better.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because I was like, I was on board with like the trying to end the project thing, and then all of a sudden it's about murder. I was like, well, now you've lost me a little bit.
Also, Casey, how did you feel that they were both vegans?
I was about to say this earlier. I was like, okay, I'm here for the representation of like born and raised in a conservative family and is now vegetarian/vegan representation. Thank you, Levi. For those of you who don't know, I'm vegetarian, so I love to read a book with some fellow veggies.
She and has introduced me to some good vegetarian food too. I will give her that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You're making me miss good vegetarian food.
I had that moment, like, you know, when you read something in a book and it's like literally something that's a part of your life, but like you don't read it a lot. Like it's sort of insider knowledge and you're kind of like, that's how I felt when B was describing what Levi had in his kitchen. I was like, this is what I have in my kitchen.
Look at that. We're just making everybody happy in some way.
Yeah.
Cat moms, so, vegetarians.
So basically, if we had read this book in a series of events of this book first and then Love Hypothesis, the reverse would have happened.
Yes. I would have given Love Hypothesis 1 star if I read this book first.
Actually, I would have rated it kind of poorly if I had read this one first. Instead, I'm pretty sure they're both 5 stars in my Goodreads. Yeah.
I would have given this one probably 4, to be honest, because I think I gave Love Hypothesis 3. I guess if I had a recommendation, mine is, I know you guys don't agree, mine is personally skip Love Hypothesis, read this one, and then read Love Hypothesis if you're like really into the cheesy romance thing. But
I would say read this one first.
Yeah, that's a good point to segue us into book recommendations.
Yes, it is.
Yes, I think we all prefer this over Love Hypothesis.
Yes.
I'm intrigued by her new book just to see how it stacks up. And I know she has that chess one too. I haven't read.
I didn't know there was a chess one.
She has some novellas as well, but I haven't looked into those either.
So I'd be interested just to see if it like continues the trend of improving on the STEM romance.
Yeah.
Other recommendations? Obviously Bonnie Garmus has been a big hit.
Yes.
That's read Lessons in Chemistry before it comes out on Apple TV.
Brie Larson, get ready. I just don't read a lot of rom-coms.
I have one.
Okay.
Book Lovers by Emily Henry. If you like this podcast, I think you will like that book because it's all about book publishers in New York and enemies to lovers in that sense of two competing book publishers. And they meet in this like idyllic town while on vacation that one of their books was based off of. And it's this like very workaholic woman who, how she describes her trope is she's the last woman her male partners meet before they meet the love of their life. Like, you know, when they're like, oh yeah, that city slicker girlfriend, when they go and meet their country love.
Right.
She's that city slicker woman, which I thought was a very interesting turn of events.
Yeah.
And I just think like, if you love books, then like a book romance book is kind of just like your bread and butter. And I think it was so different than any romance book I've ever read. So I 10 out of 10 recommend that one.
I do think at some point we're going to have to dive into the, you know, STEM romance kind of had its moment, but now it's all about hockey romance.
Oh my God. I'm
getting real curious.
The number of hockey romances Fiona Murray has read.
I've read Icebreakers, the one that everyone talks about. Y'all should read it because I'm really, Casey's going to hate it. I'm already going to say that.
I'm telling you.
Okay, the TikTok videos of hockey teams like sitting there together reading
the Seattle Kraken
romances. It's so funny.
The Seattle Kraken has taken over book talk and I've never seen that.
They invite book talk influencers to their games now. They have like,
they like are fully embracing book talk and that's why they have a fan base. And that's
so maybe if STEM romance isn't for you, you might join the hockey train.
You know, Icebreakers wasn't bad, but it was definitely not on this level.
That's because you're a sophisticated, smart girl. No offense to the hockey lovers, but Catherine's a nerd.
I am a nerd. It's one of my green flags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so true. All right. Well, my only recommendation is to read this book and I love Hypothesis. I don't have another good romance rec.
Okay, well, send us your romance recs. And if you send us Colleen Hoover, I swear to God.
We're not reading it.
You should know by now.
We've read one, we will never read another.
I've been there, done that, didn't like it. So you know where to find us. Hit us up with the romance recs. We do viewer recommended, listener recommended books. So let us know what else we should use to split up our big old thick 500 plus page books. At Busy Girls Pod, wherever you do social media, and hit us up.
And make sure to rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to this podcast. It's really appreciative from us because it gets it out to more people. So please take a chance to rate and review and then connect with us. But for now, I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.